for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Friday evening service of August the 30th, 1996. Bill Smith is the speaker for the evening.
All right. Thank you, Brother Glenn. It's certainly been a privilege and an honor to be in this camp meeting. I believe that we've really heard a word from God, and we praise the Lord for that. God so met with us last night as Brother Tommy was unfolding the word to us, and then this morning as Brother David began to reveal and unveil the heart of the Father to us today. Then this afternoon, Brother Noel ministered the precious word of the Lord to us. And I tell you, God's doing great and mighty things today in the earth. And I was so grateful when you start talking about missionaries, you know you're really getting on my territory then. Praise the Lord. The Lord has helped us to build 16 churches in the country of Mexico, and we've been down there about 26 years. You said, well, you should have more than that. Well, I agree with you, but that's just all we've got. But we don't go around claiming other churches either. So the Lord has helped us to build those, and we're real grateful for what God is doing today in the earth. And I don't know, you know, some people, I see them moving with God, and they lose sight of the foundation. And I believe as high as we go in the realm of the Spirit of God, we need to keep one foot upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, we still believe in baptizing in water, and we still practice that. And back in July, we baptized three ladies and two men in the country of Mexico and in the river Rio Pablo. And I believe that the heavens opened and God so honored what we were doing there in the country of Mexico. So I had a gentleman with me, Brother Marvin Small. Some of you might know him. He was in Yaleville, Arkansas. I don't know where Yaleville is, but anyway, somewhere, maybe that's where you holler. I don't know. But anyway, the thing that I want to express to you today, the presence of God will change your life. The life of God manifested in your body will bring new life unto you. And this man, a precious man, getting on up there in years, and my wife, she said to me, she says, I don't know what you're going to do about that situation. And I said, well, the only thing is, I guess if we get down there and I can't handle this situation, and then I'll take care of the business and we'll come back home. And I want you to know, it's like Brother Glenn said, we get in there and we get in this little house that the Lord has blessed us to build in the country of Mexico, that we stay in while we're there ministering. And we go out like a fan. We go out in many directions, and we come back every night and sleep in our little house there in Mexico. And so as we got there and we began to just pray and seek God and seek the face of God, and the first thing that he came to me, and he wasn't the point of the nail. It was the head of the nail. He'd run into it. You see, we don't have a hotel inside bathrooms. We have an outhouse. Now, I have three baths in my home at Fort Worth, but, you know, I heard somebody talking about building the, you know, raising up the Temple of Solomon last night. Well, you know what? God is much interested in raising up the Temple of Solomon is for Glenn to put an outhouse out here. So that's how much God's interested. But anyway, he ran into this and he tore his arm up. And then the first thing that came out of my mouth, you see, we're going to have to get reprogrammed. Came out of my mouth, said, what am I going to do now? Blood was dripping and running off. And so I grabbed him and I laid my hand over there and I said, God, I refuse to look at circumstances. I look to you. And so I began to cover up the circumstances and I began to believe God. I seen God give that man a miracle there. God restored his mind, and I came back home, and listen, folks, don't tell me that God doesn't change lives. You walk in the presence of God, and you live in the presence of God, and it'll preserve your life. It will change your life. Praise the Lord. So we're grateful tonight for what God is doing, and we're so grateful to have the privilege and the honor of meeting these great men of God. And I came to Lake Bible Camp many years ago, back I think it was 79 or 80 somewhere, I think 79. And I had met Glenn and Irma, and so God spoke to Glenn and told Glenn to come up our way and said, invade the camp. And so Brother Glenn and Sister Irma came up there, and they've been coming ever since. And we enjoy them, having them in our home and staying with us when they stay. The only thing, their stay many times is way too short. Praise the Lord. So we're happy tonight for what God is doing today. Now, I want you to know, I know that Brother Colonel last night, and some of us, we were cursing pretty loud last night. And sometimes perhaps we may have shook you a little bit on your theology. But I want you to know, folks, we that don't believe that the bus is coming, I tell you, we also need to get into the mode that God is ready to move in the land again. It's time for a manifestation of God. It's time for a manifestation of the sons of God in the earth today. He never did say he was waiting to fly away or get to the mansion, but he said the whole creation groaneth and pained together until now, waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. Now, many times people asked about our companions, and of course there's times that mine is not in very good health, and there's a lot of problems there. And they've asked since I've been here, you know, what's going on and on like that. But the thing that I want to say to you tonight, how many knows that Adam had a helpmate? And her name was Eve. She was the mother of all living. How many knows that Jesus has a helpmate? That is his body. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23, he said, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. How many believes that it's about time that we begin to see Mrs. Jesus Christ to come on the scene? It's time that we need to see the helpmate that's going to produce this royal seed that's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Praise the Lord. All right. Tonight, Brother David talked about that remnant this morning, and was such a beautiful job. I want you to go with me into Joel chapter 2, and I want to pick up a scripture here. In Joel chapter 2, verse 32, I believe is the scripture that I'm wanting. Notice what the Bible says. And it shall come to pass, Dr. Noel quoted this afternoon, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now, we believe in that. All right. But for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant to whom the Lord shall call. Now, we in Texas, everything is bigger and better in Texas. Everybody knows that. If you brag in Texas a little bit, it won't be noticed because it's already there. But the thing of it is tonight that I want to point out to this is that a remnant. Now, if you don't like that word remnant, that word translates over into Hebrew as a survivor. Now, brother and sister, today I want you to know that it's time that we begin to see survivors to come forth in this end time. Hallelujah to God. Turn with me now into the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and I want us to look here at a scripture. Since I've been here, because I live in the big metroplex, people ask me different questions about different ministries that's in our area. Now, we that have been in the gospel for many years, we have known of great ministries. We've seen many of them, Brother Coffey, and they've started out well. And they have done a great work. And just like today, as I was going to get into the line, a lady came and approached me about a certain minister in our area. And the same theme of the convention or the meeting that we're in, well, we believe that they started out well. Now, brother and sister, today God's not looking for us that started out well. God is looking for someone that will be a survivor and that will finish this race to bring forth God's kingdom unto this earth. Praise the Lord. So I want you to know God is crying out in my spirit that we finish well. Now let's look at the scripture here in the 13th verse, Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. Now notice what happened. Having what? Not receiving the promises. Now, brother and sister, I'm not, I help things against people because they bruised me. Because, you see, folks, we were kingdom when kingdom wasn't cool. Come on. We were kingdom when kingdom was not cool. And when we spoke in tongues, you know, they did that down beyond the railroad track. But brother and sister, we pioneered that. You say you're not that old. Well, if you start out young enough, it is. But I'm here to tell you today that God's looking for some survivors. Hallelujah. God that's going to stand in this end time, that's going to walk in the promises of God, and they're going to be appropriately simulated unto our lives. Now, these all died in faith. How many of us has looked at this Hero Hall of Fame? And you know, when I got in the race, everything was faith. Faith, faith, faith. And oh, I got in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I studied and I studied and I studied and I studied the Hero Hall of Fame. But then I remembered. All of a sudden, I remembered one name that wasn't in there. And I remember, Brother Coffey, the Lord's name, Jesus Christ, is not mentioned in chapter 11. I said, Lord, why is that? Because chapter 11 is a parts realm, and the faith realm is in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, these all died, received not the promises. Then let's skip on over to the 39th verse. And these all have obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, brother, how many of us went to war all of these years, trained in warfare, fighting spirits, and all of these things, and yet received not the promises of God? Brother and sister, I want to walk in the of God, that they're yea and amen unto us that believe. Hallelujah. I want you to know 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that God can be made manifest in these mortal bodies. And brother, I want you to know I'm living in this 175 pounder. I want to see God manifested in this body, not in the glorified body that's going to come, but I want to see Him manifested now. No, but they receive not the promises. But now let's notice as we go on, verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Oh, hallelujah. They without us should not be made perfect. I believe that we're so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses tonight, and they're hollering down through the portals of glory, and they're telling you and I to get this thing together that we can be made perfect. Now, let's notice. Turn with me over into the book of Daniel. How many of us today know that there is such a mixture in the body of Christ today? I'm telling you, there's everything from soup to hay out there. Everything imaginable. Now,
I know that we're approaching the end of another age. I know that we're on the verge of another wave of God's glory. But I want to be in position. You don't have to be in a locality, but you've got to be in position to hear from God, to be where God would have you to be therein. Now let's notice, as we look here in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, and verse 26, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, and the astrologers, and the magicians, soothsayers, show unto thee, the king? No, they cannot. Brother Colonel Speed Wilson, the natural man can never receive the things of the Spirit of God. And brother, this was revealed by the Spirit of God. It's going to take the Spirit of God in humanity that's going to reveal what God is going to do. And brother and sister, today, I want to be up to date with God. I don't want to be 10 years behind time, 5 years, but I want to walk where God is calling us to walk today. Now, there's something that I hate about being obsolete. I want to be up to date. Now, can't the soothsayers, you know, they try out there. And some of the things that you and I have preached to us over the airways is a stench in the nostrils of our God. And you know, God has given us such a sense of the Spirit that we begin to survey and we begin to take the radar of the Spirit of God and the very ways of God, the mind of God, and we begin to unravel what's being said and what's being done. But Daniel says this, but there is a God. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Now, brother and sister, I believe with all of my heart, it's going to take the revealing of God to reveal to where we're at today. Now, in your Bible, there's 120 that's been mentioned many, many times. The 120 in your Bible is the end of one age, but it's the beginning of another age. Now let's look at Moses. How old was Moses when God buried him? 120 years old. What was it? God will bury His workmen, but He will never bury His work. So God buried Moses. Why? So that Joshua, the very name Joshua means Jesus. So that law could come, fade out of the way, and grace could come forth. Alright? Now, isn't the Sabbath 7 times 7? Isn't that 49? And then on the 50th year, what is that? The year of Jubilee. Somebody tell me real quick that's in Matt. What is 120 jubilees? Brother Colonel Wilson, isn't that 6,000 years? Now, brother, we're coming to a close of another age, and there's still people playing around waiting for Jesus. Brother, it's time that you and I get down to business and we see the revealing and unveiling of the manifestation of God. Now, the end of one age, but the beginning of another one. Then do we read, Brother David this morning talked about the poles, the staves in the Ark of the Covenant. He talked about how that they were too big. And I thought the revelation that God gave him was very appropriate. Oh, hallelujah. But brother, how many knows that those staves were in there for a purpose? To carry that Ark. Every time that it was moved, wasn't it 9 stops that God moved that ark on before they got it into Zion? There were so many curves that was made before that it was taken into Zion. It went into other houses before it got there. But brother, when those stays were pulled out in Second Chronicles, the Bible says that there was 120 priests at the east end of that altar, hallelujah, and pulled out. And what were they doing? They were blowing the trumpet. Why? Because that was the end of one age. Because that ark had come to its final resting place and the stays were removed. And brother, the ark today is set up in the temple today. Hallelujah to God. And I want you to know I'm looking at the temple of God, the dwelling place of I'm looking at it here tonight. What did those trumpeters do? 120 of them. Is this correct? On the east end of the altar. Read the book. And what were they doing? They were trumpeting. What happened? The end of one age, but the beginning of another age. All right. You said, but Brother Smith, let's go a little further. How many were there in the upper room? 120, wasn't there? How long had Pentecost been on its way? For over 1,500 years. But the day that Pentecost had fully come, all in one mind, in one accord, here's 120 in the upper room, and tongues set on them as fire. And brother, they were trumpeting. Why? Because there was one area had passed away, but there was a new area of being birthed for. And brother, today, this is happening in mine, in your eyes. There's an area of religious order, religious system, hallelujah, God, that's passing away, but God's going to bring forth the hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, and I had some criticism, but I want to tell you something. A lot of people live all of their lives as a spiritual pauper. I'm not talking about blabbing and grabbing. I'm not talking about that. But they live so far beneath of what God has purposed for them. And they live as a spiritual pauper all of their life. But brother and sister, I want you to know, I'm looking to become, not in dollars and cents, but I'm looking to become that spiritual billionaire that's filled with the fullness of God in my very being in this earth, not in the sweet by and by, but in this hour that we're living in, that we're going to turn this nation back unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's notice. Oh, but there is a God. So I was criticized. And it gets back through the grapevine. Said, Bill said, he's trying to make this thing happen. I know that I can't force birth this thing. But I know one thing. I was on my way to Hot Springs praying and seeking God, because many a time, thank God, Brother Colonel, for that cruise control on them cars. Set that cruise control. And then we begin to get in there, intercede to God. God spoke to me as an audible voice. And he said, son, I know that you can't force birth this. But son, you can keep knocking at the door. And you can knock at the door. And when it's open, you can walk in. And brother, this is what I'm doing every day of my life. I'm knocking at the door. I thank God for salvation. The greatest thing that happened to me, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. But brother, today, I'm not going for salvation. I'm going for the prize. Hallelujah to God. I'm pressing toward the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus today. Hallelujah. Thank God for salvation. Brother, I believe in three realms of salvation. Chew on that a little bit. Common, great, and eternal. And right now, I am appropriating eternal salvation. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. And brother, today, I'm experiencing a realm of eternal salvation in my life. Now let's read on this vision here. Thou, King, verse 31, sawest and behold a great image. This great image whose brightness was excellent stood before thee, and the form thereof. The image's head was of fine gold, His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his legs of brass. Well, there's some three ingredients there that's good, but you see the mixture. The gold is the divinity of God. The silver is the redemption of God. And the brass is the judgment of God. How many remembers when Jesus stood there and his feet was as varnished brass? The judgment of God. But you see the mixture. Brother and sister, I see tonight in the realm of the Spirit, there are many levels in this congregation tonight. There's much mixture in this congregation tonight. But brother and sister, we're going to go forward as long as we make Jesus the center of our life. I don't ask you to believe everything I believe. But brother, when you make Jesus the center of your life, you're talking about my hero. You're talking about my hero. And brother, we're going to walk. All right, the mixture. This image head. All right. Now, verse 33 is, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron, part of clay. Thou sawest that till that a stone was cut out without hands and smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Now, brother, this is the world kingdom. And brother, this, and I want you to know, we talked a little bit last night about Benjamin, about the last son. But brother, I am here to tell you today that God is raising up a Joseph company today. That's a fruitful vine that's going over the walls. What is the walls? It's denominational man-made system. And brother, it's coming down. It's coming down. And we're going to see God brought in this place because God's raising up a true prophet in the earth today. Did not he say in Malachi, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send my messenger and he shall come to the temple suddenly. There is a message that's coming to the temple today. Hallelujah. Now let's notice this world kingdom, world system coming down. And I want to tell you something. The Democrats are having a lot of hoopla. Now, oh, you said, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? No, I'm a child of God. A child of God. Do you vote? Yes, I vote. But I vote for who God tells me to vote for. And I agree. I agree. Whether that we like what's going on or not. Brother, I'm here to tell you that the earth is the Lord's, folks. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And if there's anybody else here beside the Lord, they're intruders. Hallelujah. And I believe that God's going to use what we got to further in the kingdom. Come on. I know there's darkness and gross darkness on the people. But brother, we're living in an hour when the glory is going to be seen upon His people and going to be revealed in His people. Hallelujah. Now, I think of this, talking about mixture. How many has read that little bitty book in the Bible next to Judges called Ruth? How many remembers that they took a sojourn? They was in Bethlehem, Judea, which is the house of bread. And they took a sojourn down into Moab, which was the ancestry of incest. From the union of Lot and his two daughters. Incest. They took a sojourn down there. I've never seen any trip away from God that's ever been profitable. And we go down there and what happens? All of the husband ministry dies off. Is that right? All right. God was the end of that order, folks. There was no more. The father and the two son-in-laws, the two sons, they died, didn't they? All right? So then, they pick up two Moabites who cannot come in the congregation of God until the 10th generation of purification. Cannot. All right? But here's Orpha. Tell me we don't have the mixture today. Orpha Ruth comes up her. Naomi said, well, would you stay if I have a son for you? I know I'm getting old. I'm paraphrasing now. But would you stay? Would you bring children unto me? But you know what? Orpha had that betrayal kiss, the same thing that Judas had. Orpha goes up there and she kissed Naomi. She's got Bethlehem, Judea in her eye, but she's got Moab in her heart. And what does she do? She gets right ready, she said, and she kissed her mother-in-law and headed back for the country. But now notice the next one. Ruth, sure her husband has died. Guess what? She comes to Ruth and she said, will you go back? She said, no, sir. She said, my God is your God. Your people is my people. And only death will separate me and you. What a determination. What a survivor, if you please. Brother, only death will separate me between me and you. All right, you know the story. She goes out there and she gleans behind the reapers. And how many like second pickings? None of us do. But I want to tell you something. I already told you that I was kingdom when kingdom wasn't cool. I remember when we didn't have the big denomination behind us. I remember when we had to follow behind them. And guess what? They went down there and they picked up the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And then they went on their way. Remember, that's a mutilated hand. Come on. It's a mutilated hand. But then what did Ruth do? Brother, she reached down there and she picked up those locks. Hallelujah, that had been shaken off in the dust, and she dusted them off, and she came up and she said, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Brother, I want you to know she was a survivor. And brother, what did she go on? And mama, stay close to mama, folks. Misery is Jesus Christ. Stay close to her. Let her instruct you. If you don't want to believe that, when you get the glory, ask Jacob what his mother did for him. Huh? So, then one night came. Naomi said, Ruth, at midnight tonight, Boaz, when he gets through drinking, everything, said, you go down there. You locate his feet. Come on. How many of us today we're going to locate the feet of Jesus more than we ever have in our entire life? This man here has been hollering intercessory prayer since I walked on this premises, or since I got here before he did. Since he walked on this premises, he's been hollering intercessory prayer. Brother, intercessory prayer is the strongest prayer in the earth. It's the strongest power in the earth. It will even change judges' decisions. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, here's where we're at now. So at midnight and the darkest hour, sure. Oh, when you and I are here together and we're walking in eye level deep of faith. Oh, yeah. Boy, we've got lots of power and lots of authority. But you know that the banana never gets peeled till it gets taken from the bunch? Huh? Come on. You just wait till you get out there by yourself and see how powerful you are. But in the midnight hour, in the darkest hour, brother, she went down there and she located his feet. The mighty man of wealth, Boaz. And brother, what was that a type of? The same type of the Lord Jesus Christ that we see in the New Testament. The mighty man of wealth. Hallelujah. So at midnight, pulls that skirt over her. And then she becomes Boaz's wife. And then they produce what? Obed, who is Jesse's father? Who is Jesse? Is David's father? Brought back from that union of incest. Hallelujah. Cleared up the bloodline and brought in the lineage of God. And brother and sister, today, this is what I'm crying out for. We've all got some hang up, but brother, God wants you and I to get them hung up. Hallelujah to God, that we can walk in the fullness of God. Now, this world kingdom. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place were found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain that filled the whole earth. Now, who is this mountain? This is the kingdom of God, folks, that's filling the whole earth. Now, let's go back as far as into Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. God speaking to Moses and said, Moses, as truly as I live, the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. Then we go over again to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says again, he says, as the glory of the Lord shall fill the earth as the water covereth the sea. Our brother preached this morning out of Isaiah chapter 6. And Isaiah says there, he said, the whole earth is filled with God's glory. Brother and sister, this is what I'm talking about today. We're going to see revival that's going to be brought to the United States of America. But it's going to be through survivors. It's going to be through those, hallelujah, that's making their calling and their election sure. Now, you said that sure is a lot there. But now, let's just skip over just a little bit. Verse 42 and 43. And 44, and this is my text, and then we'll start preaching. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Do we see this today? Do we see this today? Folks, we're seeing this in every facet of life today. I'm seeing the church world breaking down. A man that I've known for many years. I dealt with him before I left to come down here Thursday. I thought this morning as Brother David was ministering. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says this. Ever learning, but never coming in to the knowledge of the truth. So this man, he comes to me and he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I did this, and we're talking about a man that's 50-something year old, and he was in the church when I came to the church. How long are we going to have to part the mustache to get the bottle in the mouth? How long are we going to have to do this? Brother, it's time that we begin to see growth and development and maturity in the body of Christ. It's time that we begin to see the image of the Son of God in the body of Christ today. Now, notice what he says. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with myrrh clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now here's my text in verse 44. And it in the days of these kings. Now, brother, how many will raise their hand and say, this is existing today? But he says, in the days of these kings, in the days of these systems that's in the earth, I will raise up a kingdom. Now, is that what your Bible says? And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, brother, this is where I'm putting my focus on tonight. I know the chaos is out there, but I know that we're in the season. I know that the fig tree is putting forth leaves. I know that the winter is over. I know that we're in the season for a manifestation of God. And brother and sister, today, this is why that I'm crying out. In the days of these kings, God will raise up a kingdom. Now, let's notice how many knows that salvation is free. Now, that's soul salvation. How many has ever had somebody to come to you and said, you know, the Bible contradicts itself. Said, you know, you said, you know, all you have to do in Romans 10:9, you know, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He raised him from the dead, and thou shalt believe, thou shalt be saved. Then you go over to in the Philippians 2:7. They work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what was he talking about? The soul salvation is free. But brother, you and I today are walking out body, soul, by salvation. And brother, we're walking it out day by day with fear and trembling. We're walking out there. We're being totally redeemed unto God. Does not the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 2:16, isn't it? He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Does not Hebrews? Maybe we should go there. Hebrews 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't guess I'm getting long-winded. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. How many is excited? Hallelujah. Now, notice what he says here. We'll just skip down to verse 9 for the sake of time. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and for the suffering of death. Now, what has happened here? Crowned with glory and honor. Who wears crowns? Kings. Does not Revelation 5:10 say he has made us kings and priests unto God, that we're going to reign when we're raptured away? No, it does not. It says we're going to reign on this earth. This earth is our domain. It's our domain. All right. Crowned him with glory and with honor. Isn't that better than the cabin in the corner of glory land? Huh? That's better than the mansion over the hilltop. Come on. Hallelujah. Crowned with glory and with honor. Hallelujah. That's better than Levi Garrett, isn't it? Come on. Hallelujah. Crowned with glory and with honor. Now, what does it say? That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hallelujah. Brother Glenn said he paid an electric bill for $3,700. I'm not going to Arkansas Utilities in the morning to go down there and try to pay that bill, because it's already been paid. Now, brother, if death has been tasted for you and I, brother, that debt's been paid. And it's time that we get a hold of God and walk into His life. We got to walk into life. And we're not going to get some revelation from somebody or make a covenant between us and someone that we're going to do this. Brother, it's going to be between you and God. All right? Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the what now? The captain, the leader. The leader. I don't know why that I wasn't as big as Brother David and Brother Colonel Speed, some of these guys. North Carolina, last year. Here comes a little elder stutting up there like a little Benny Rooster. And they said, sometimes I act like a Benny Rooster. Come stutting up there. We don't need the fivefold ministry no more. Said, we've already grown beyond that. I said, now give me chapter and verse for your revelation. Oh, I don't have chapter and verse. God showed me. I said, brother, God ain't showed you nothing that's contrary to this book. Brother, what God shows you is going to parallel with this book. It's going to be the written word, and then the rhema word is going to be spoken. So then I got braver. I threw my chest out. And I said, you know something? You're not mature enough in God to blow your nose real good yet. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. We're not playing church. God don't play games. God's not blowing down and playing games. God's raising up a people in the earth today. Hallelujah. Not playing no games. Of course, I guess he either thought I was tough or a minute one, because he didn't whoop me. But I want to tell you something, folks. We get this every day. Every day. Sometimes I just have to leave the house and just turn fancy the equipment on, the ID collar, and all of those things, and just go out. Because we get loaded down many times. Not with people from just the church. We're talking about the world. People from all over the United States of America call us. Call us. Brother, why are they calling us? Because we preached in the early days of this that they would be the pathway to our door to find answers from God. Now, brother, why? Because if we have life to offer, they're coming to us for that life. All right. Now, the captain of our salvation. Now, how many wants to move into God's life? Now, I want to tell you something. You see, I was kingdom when kingdom wasn't cool at all. And when I came in, I was scared to read John 6 out loud. Because I'd seen so many that got glorified, and one lady got glorified, and she was hanging her drapes, and she fell and broke her glorified hip. Come on. It's comical, but it's the truth. Brother, they were taking things out of context. But brother and sister, God's looking for a real today. A people that will be real. A real survivor today that will stand in this end time. And listen, folks. I believe that there's going to be the end gathering. We've already come across Passover. We've come across Pentecost. And now we're in the tabernacling of God. We're seeing God and man that's co-mingled together. We're seeing creation, which is the triune God. And we're seeing the creature and the creator being co-mingled together. This Christ in us, the hope of glory, that our life is hid with Christ and in God. We're seeing these things today. But brother, we've seen down through the years all these people getting these hot dog hamburger revelations. Hallelujah. But how many of us today want to be real? Want to be real? Hallelujah. This is why that we're crying out. Now, go with me back into Romans chapter 8. And I want us to look here at a scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, if you'll notice, let's just go back to 15. That's good. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, I know that people get mixed up, and they tell us that the prayer in Matthew, when Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray, said, when you pray, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And they say that's the Lord's Prayer. But it isn't, folks. The prayer of the Lord is in John 17. See, it's in John 17. That's where he was teaching us how to pray. Our Father. Now, brother and sister today, God's wanting people that's in the God family. That our Father, which art in heaven. Now, brother, I'm talking about the placing of a son. You see, adoption means the placing. The placing of a son. How many today is wanting to be placed in the vineyard of God, into the place that God would place you to raise you up there? Now, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I want to tell you something, folks. I see people going around and being a holy Joe. But you know what I like to do? I like for them to just guess at it. And I want to tell you something. We went through all of these slurs from all of the scandals because, you see, I live where it's at. I go up there to the business places to buy material for our church, are to buy balances for lights for our electrician or something like that. I give them our church name and our tax number and everything. And they looked at me. He's one of them too. He's one of them too. He's fixing to fall out. No, sir. And then last Monday, this week, Monday, I was in the immigration office in Dallas, Texas. Had some problems with one of our great families that we have from Costa Rica. And the immigration officer was giving them a lot of trouble. I walked in there, I didn't tell him I was no holy Joe, I didn't even tell him I was a preacher. Walked in there and I sat down at the table because I'm not scared of anything because I belong to the highest kingdom that's ever existed. I am in the kingdom of our God. So there's nothing as high as the kingdom of God. So I just walk in there like I own the place. So then he talked to me and he said, "What are you?" He said, "You're different." He looked over at me and he says, "How are you going to pay this bill?" I said, "I'm going to pay you cash. Is that good enough?" He looked at me and said, "You're different." And then I told him. I said, "Sir, not only do we preach this gospel, but we're trying to walk by the same rule in the earth today. We're trying to be the Word of God explained in the earth today." Brother, I walked out of there and I had a shake. He shook my hand and he told me goodbye. Praise the Lord. You said, "What? We have to walk in there and be scared of that." No, I'm a child of God. I belong to the highest kingdom that's ever existed. When I had my business, preachers would come out there and said to me, said, "Well, Bill, you know, in other words, if you don't give me this job, I'm probably going to starve to death." So they said, "Bill, you know, I need that so bad." I said, "How can you talk like that and you say that you're working for the highest kingdom that ever existed?" Come on, folks. You're working for the highest kingdom that ever existed. It's time that we stand up as a survivor, hallelujah, God, to let the world know that Jesus Christ is Lord again. Sure. Hallelujah. Brother, I walked out of there. He told me, he says, "Mr. Smith, if everything works out right," he said, "you're going to get all of this money back. You can't steal God's money and get by with it. Come on. You're going to get it all back." Come on, folks. We're survivors. I don't care. And it hurts me. It bothers me when ministry falls. And I'll tell you what bothers me more than that is when people come to me and say, "Look what the devil did." The devil ain't done none of this, folks. God's purifying the ministry. God's bringing forth a true people of God. God's bringing forth survivors that's going to stand in this end time and declare the counsel of God. Hallelujah. Now, this gets better than that. 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." You tell me, what does joint heir mean, folks? Equal partner. Now, if you're heir, you're only getting your part. But when you're a joint heir, that's equal partners. Now, why did we say in Hebrews, he's crowned with glory and with honor. And brother, today in 1996, I stand in front of you that God is raising us up. He's crowning us with glory and with honor of him. Amen. Hallelujah. Heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Equal partners, if you please. Oh, you said that's too much. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he took upon him the form of a servant, became a man, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, yes. He didn't think it was robbery to be raised up equal with the Father. And the Father said, and Jesus said that day, he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But brother, isn't that better than I? Cabin in the corner of glory land? Huh? You just can't lose with the stuff we use. Huh? Huh? I agree with Brother Jack Harris. You can look all the way down and say, "You know, Bill, you're wrong." Hmm? Because we're going to be going together. Praise the Lord. But brother, this is better than any cabin or the mansion over the hilltop. Brother, God, in the book of Revelation is two books. The first 11 books deals with the throne. As brother dealt this morning with the throne of God. It deals with the throne. But the last half of the book, it deals with the dwelling place of God. And we look in Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, and the temple was open. Saw lightnings and on and on. And then God starts dealing with his dwelling place. Now, folks, God is setting up the true tabernacle. It says in Hebrews chapter 8, which the tabernacle that the Lord pitched and not man. What did it say in the book of Daniel there? A stone that was hewed out of the mountain without hands. And brother, it became a kingdom and filled the whole earth. And brother, this is what we're talking about today. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. But you said, oh, in the sweet by and by. Well, we're no better off than that other doctrine. Brother, it's time that we press for the prize. I want the prize tonight, folks. I know I've got salvation, but I want the prize of the high calling that's in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I know that there's many called, but brother, there are few that are chosen into this. Just like the other day, one of my aunts, she's a good Christian, but she belongs to a favorite denomination. When she comes to me, she watches me all the way like this, like I got a plague. So the other day, she comes over there, and she's looking me over real well. She calls me son, because I grew up with five sisters, and they call me son, or brother. So she said, son, how is it that you differ from us? Wanting, trying to pick a little fight, I think. So I said, you know, Aunt Euther, the best thing that I can tell you right now in very simple words, Aunt Euther, we're trying to be a part of that 144,000 that's upon Mount Zion, that's got the Father's name, the mind of Christ is written in their forehead, and that's what we're after today. She said, well, son, there's nothing wrong with that. You see, if they would just listen, we've got the book. We've got the book. Come on, folks. We're not trying to prove something that's not there. We've got the book. This is why this man here offers the money, because he's got the book on his side. And you know why nobody's never challenged it? Because they haven't got nothing to challenge with. And brother, when she said, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I said, then she said, well, son, do you think that that's a literal number? Or is that a, what do you think? And I said, Aunt Euther, there's lots of controversy right here. But I said, me personally, I think that it's a group number, which is 12 times 12, government, a spirit guided life, 12 times 12, 144,000. A spirit guided life. Huh? Hallelujah. That's better than mayonnaise on your hamburger. A spirit got it live. 3 times 4, 12. Now, I want to close again. How many remembers when Jesus said to his disciples that day, he said, stay ye not 4 months, and then cometh harvest. But look ye out on a field of white already to be harvest. Can anybody tell me what 4 times 30 is? 120. What was God telling him? The end of this age is over now. You look out here. It's ready. It's open for you to walk into. Folks, let me tell you something. You may have to move many things out of your pathway, but it's time for us to walk in to what God has destined for us. How many wants to be a spiritual billionaire in God? I want what God's got for me, folks. I don't want to be selfish. And just like a guy prophesied over me here about 25 years ago. And he come up there and he thought he was grinding me to pieces. He said, when it comes to the things of God, you got a hog spirit. I said, thank you. Thank you. Because if you don't get your part, I'm going after it. Hallelujah. I'm going after it. I'm going to become that spiritual billionaire in God to raise the people in this earth that will show forth no death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't know I was a Texas hurricane, did you? But I want to tell you something, folks. There's too much playing around in the body of Christ. Too many games, too many gimmicks in the body of Christ today. It's not by games and gimmicks. It's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by power, by might, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, how many wants to be a survivor? There are going to be many casualties. I know that it's 9:15, but you didn't get up this early last night. In 1989, I was in a boating accident in the country of Mexico. In the 19th day of December, how many knows what month December's in? Is that a good warm month or is that a cold month? In the water, 6.5 hours. My legs, I had coats on and they got so water soaked, I could no longer swim with them. My legs turned blue. I would get a hold of an ice chest, folks. I'm talking about a 16 personal. I did not have a life jacket because we put the life jackets on everybody else and I had no life jacket. But today you don't see my boat without even more abundance of life jackets. More than everybody's in there, we got two for everybody. But I had to learn the lesson the hard way. So I've got this ice chest, little bitty 16 personal. And I'm putting my hands on it and it's floating. And I'm holding up with that. I want to tell you something. You've heard the old cliche that a drowning person will grab for a straw. Folks, when you're going down for the last time, you'll grab for a straw. I know what I'm talking about. I know of people that drove off from the loading ramps at boat docks and went into the water and drowned it immediately. And I was there for 6.5 hours in that water. And all of a sudden, the devil hops upon my shoulder. And he said, you'll never live to see the word that you preached to come into formation. I said, you're a liar. And furthermore, that you're a father of it. The Bible says you are. And I only live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I started swimming the harder. Got in mesquites that, you know, just the twigs. It was in 18 foot of water because the depth finder on the boat said it was 18 feet deep. Storm came up, and that's why that the boat was sinking, because we couldn't get out of there to outrun the storm. All right? You know what? All of that. So we finally got to the bank, and I got in a little bitty bush like this, and I started praying, crying out to God, to somewhere that would be a boat. Well, there's not going to be a boat when the storm's on. Come on. There ain't going to be no boat. All right? So I would swim up this far, and thank God that I was in good enough shape. I water skied a lot, and I was just pretty good shape. And you know what? I got in that little old limb, and I pulled myself apart. I laid hands on my legs. I rubbed my legs. I prayed that God to take the bluing and put the feeling back into my legs from that cold water. Right then and there. All right? So then I cried out, God, where's a boat? Where's a boat? There was none. So then here's my little grandson. He's got a life jacket on. And another brother from the church, he's got a life jacket on. And I finally catch up with them in this little tree. I swam 2.5 miles. Can you do that in a storm? All right. So then I started screaming. We all started screaming. We thought we could hear a boat. So they were so far away because they got into a cold away from the wind. And so they couldn't see us. And I had on a white undershirt. And I pulled off that white undershirt. And then when you're in Mexico, you're spinning like this, that means you're in real dire condition. And we're screaming and they couldn't see us. And so they looked, but they couldn't see us. We're so far away. So we kept waving this, and pretty soon they saw us. And I'll tell you, that little grandson of mine and Wayne both, they look at me and they say, Papa, we're going to die, aren't we? I said, in Jesus' name, we're going to make it. In Jesus' name, we're going to make it. All right. So then the tears, and I wish to God that they could think about this today some. Tears were streaming down of their eyes, and a little bit more. Who have I got to encourage me? They say. So Dwayne called me Uncle Bill. He said, Uncle Bill, last week, said my daddy corrected me and he took my kendo game away from me. And when I got in my room, I got mad and I cussed. And he says, Uncle Bill, I don't want to die and go to hell. What am I going to do now? I said, son, you get right with God, but you ain't going to die and go to hell. In Jesus' name, we're going to make it. I waved that thing again and again, and pretty soon they saw me. And brother, when they started coming our direction, we got saved all over again. All over again. They came there, got us out of the water. We could hardly walk. So then they had got the rescue squad down there. Everything, they brought a doctor down there, and the doctor says, you can't live. Said, hypothermia is going to set in on you right now, and y'all cannot live. You've got to go to the hospital. I looked at him, and those commercial fishermen had all got there, and they're wicked. And they would stand over there, and they had cigarettes, and they were drinking in this carrying on. And brother, we got to that bank. We fell on our face. We begin to thank God for what he had done for us. And brother, those fishermen pulled off those hats and they threw their beer and they threw their cigarettes away. And they stood in reverence and here as we were ministering unto the Lord. And brother, I told that doctor, I said, sir, there's not even a one of us that's even going to have the flu, let alone be sick. And brother, I'm here to tell you today, we walked out of there and we never went to no doctor, but we didn't have no blab it and grab it thing, but we were trying to walk it out in reality, walk in the confounds of the Word of the Living God, and brother, appropriating, assimilating the Word to our lives. And brother, we were survivors. And here tonight, how many of us is going to survive what's going in the earth today? Let's stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Daughter, thou art filling an assignment that thy God has placed thee and thy husband. Daughter, thou must never become weary in well-doing, for in due season thou shalt reap if thou faint not. So know thou this, my daughter, for this time, for this period, thou art placed. Where I have placed thee, said thy God. So now thou art the ground of thy roots to go down deep into the trunk of the eternal God. That when the winds and the waves that come against thee, that thou shalt not be moved about. And therefore thou shalt build a foundation for those that surround about thee, because they will view thou foundation, saith the Lord thy God. So know thou this, my daughter, worry not about nothing, fret not about nothing, because thou art in my divine placement, saith thy God. Hallelujah. 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 Daughter, thou that have a heart that's open unto me, saith thy God. I have put my spirit within thee, the brokenness of broken and contrite spirit. I will not despise, saith thy God. But thou must allow thy spirit, yea, to be developed, and yea, allow thy spirit to come to the place that thy God can speak further words unto thee, and that shall bring thee into another realm of my spirit, into another dimension. Even this day thy God has even elevated thee into another order, even this day. Even deliverance did come unto thee this day, saith thy God. And I have even started the elevation, saith thy Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Coffey, Sister Coffey, I look at you as a seasoned apostle that's never tried to outrun Jesus, that's tried to get ahead. But you've walked fervently, you've walked slow, but your pace hasn't been behind God, it's been in step with God. But you know what I say today, Brother Coffey and Sister Coffey? I see God preserving y'all's life. I see God bringing healing to your very being, to bring you into that place that you've reached out for. And son, it's not going to be many more weeks until, son, thou shalt even walk away from the job. Because you see, son, I've got a great big job for thee that thou must fulfill. Son, thou shalt even have to get bigger shoes, as it were, to walk in the steps that I've called and destined for thee to walk therein. So know thou this, my daughter, I am preserving thee, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, my son, thou hast been faithful. Thou hast even asked nothing but, son, I've made thee a battle axe in my kingdom to tear down the kingdoms of the enemy. So thou hast even uprooted many things of the enemy. But know thou this, my son, thou shalt even see greater days than what I brought thee for this hour. And thou shalt even have a greater knowledge and a greater understanding of me. So, son, know thou this, that thou art in my planning and in my purpose, said thy God. And I have instructed thee. I have given thee a great mind, even from the natural. But now I'm bringing it to the realm of the spirit, that thou will even understand me in greater dimension, said thy God. Hallelujah. Hatayo itaye ki ne ko yo so ye ke ne me se. Hameni mi ko ye ke ne matayo ko bo si. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, tonight I speak against every incurable disease that's in this building tonight. I command every disorder that's upon this body tonight. I take dominion by the delegated authority in Jesus' name. I curse every disease at the root in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You know, daughter, thou hast run so hard after me, saith thy God. There has been times that things has even tripped thee up and slowed thee down. But daughter, know thou this, that I am preserving thee now. Yea, that thy steps shall not be staggering steps no longer, but every step shall be a step in due season toward me, saith thy God. So know thou this, my daughter, thou wast born in another day, but thou wast birthed forth for this day, saith thy God. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Oh, Father, tonight, Lord. Father, that there won't be a one of us miss you, Lord. Not a one of us, Lord, miss the day of our visitation, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for it, Master. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Brother Glenn. Hallelujah. Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, Master. Yea, Lord. Oh, Master. The living God, the living God. Oh, Master, you are doing exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh within us, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, by the word of our testimony.
Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, great God. Great God. Oh, the Lord of glory, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Master, thou art all in all and in all and through all, above all, before all, Master. Master, without thee there is not anything made that was made, and in thee all things consist. Yea, Lord, yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord.
I pour out my spirit of healing and deliverance upon you. For as my servant has stood and bound the enemy, and yea, I have poured out my spirit of healing and deliverance. So yea, my children, I say unto you, claim your healing, claim your deliverance, and move forward, and know that my servant has moved forward in an anointing that I have laid upon him. And yea, I have touched you. I have touched you, so move forward and claim it. Claim it in my name, and know it shall come to pass, saith the Lord. For I have ordained it this day, and yea, it shall come to pass as you walk it out, saith the Lord.
Oh,
praise your name, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God. Yea, Lord. Oh, Master. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Oh, Master. Master, Master. Master, Master. Yea, Lord. Oh, yea, Lord. Yea, Lord. Oh, Master. Oh, yea, Lord.
Aye. Inoko me kisi. Ayo tomo kaye. Itono mo kosi tiniki. Atoma kaye kino soyo. Itamane ki tokoyo soye kiti. Ayandolo bosi. Yea, I have spoken unto thee this night, saith thy God. Yea, there are those that had dull of hearing, but yea, I have opened up thy hearing. Not only have I opened up thy hearing, but I have opened up thine understanding. So know thou this from this day forward, thou art facing a greater responsibility, saith thy God.
Praise God. There's a solemnity that the Holy Spirit has brought over this assembly this evening. An awesome reverence for His presence and His very character as it's manifesting itself in this place. And there are those that are standing here this evening, and they have developed a controversy with God. Not with the preacher, not with the character of the people around you, but you've developed a controversy with God. And you're standing in the hardness of your heart before Him right now when brokenness is giving your life. And the Holy Spirit is calling forth a repentance even now. And it was confirmed with Brother Glenn, and just as he called me forward, and I was feeling it in my own spirit, that God is calling forth a repentance. As Dr. Noah was sharing earlier, it's a turning away. And the Lord's asking you to turn away from some ideologies. He's asking you to turn away from some secret sin, some hidden agenda. He's wanting you to turn away from it. And you're having an opportunity tonight, in the solemnity of this moment, in the awesome holiness of the presence of God, to make a determination. And when God offers you repentance, you got to grab it. You got to lay hold of it, because it's the gift of God. It's His gift. And so right now there's an unction from the Holy One to bring us before God upon our faces, and before God with an openness, stripped and bare. And the Holy Spirit's wanting to do that right now. And I'm not going to preach this out, because it doesn't need to be preached. In Jesus' name, Father, break us. Lord, you see those that have controversy with you. You see those, oh God, that have hidden agendas. Lord, that are even walking on a fence tonight, because the preacher hasn't prophesied over them concerning their need, or they haven't received the deliverance they come for. When, Lord, what you've been after is their repentance. Lord, this is the very thing you've called upon. This is the very thing you've touched. In the name of Jesus, bring us to repentance, O God. As a people, let us bemoan our condition. Let us recognize where we stand and turn, Lord God, with full efficiency. Let us turn. Let us turn, O God. Turn without fear. Turn without favor. And be not as Lot's wife, which will turn back and be turned to stone. For the Lord is even bringing many of you this hour. There are several of you in this place, even this moment. This is a defining moment. This is a critical moment. It's a crucial moment. And many of you are going to turn, and you're going to have a temptation to look back. Do it, and you'll be turned to stone. Your very heart will not be tenderized again towards this moment. I'm speaking an awful thing. I'm speaking a profound thing. I'm speaking a thing that brings terror into my soul. It brings absolute and total trembling at the essence of my being. And saints, He's declaring it in Jesus' name. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.